Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay. Come through, Queen. I wanna see ya. Come through, Queen.
Hi, everyone. It's Dan.
And Brendan.
And this is Come Through, Queen.
Was it coerced?
Brendan, are you feeling coerced?
I'm feeling coerced. Happy Thanksgiving.
To our listeners in the United States, and happy early...
I was saying it to you.
Oh, to me. And happy early podcast episode release to everyone else.
Yes, and because it's Thanksgiving, Joy Behar wants you to come out.
Oh my God. Everyone, whether or not you are gay, just come out. See what happens.
The See What Happens in that clip, which was on The View today, it's so like maniacal and funny. But the best part that nobody's talking about is Joy Behar says, I think everyone should come out. And then Sonny just like agrees and is like, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then also, the one who looks most confused is Sarah Haynes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
I actually came out during Thanksgiving. Not at the table, but like Thanksgiving holiday, I flew in and came out to my family. Okay.
So happy anniversary to you then.
Thank you.
So I think that kind of gives the context of the fact that there's not too much going on right now in the news in terms of like reality news.
Yeah, everyone's gone home. They've gone on vacation. Everyone's kind of checked out for the week because it is Thanksgiving in the U.S.
Yeah, but not us, baby. Okay, so we got a few news items. We got a Portia Williams interview with Kay Arthur of Variety. And we're kind of talking about a whole bunch of things. You know, we got Portia's Family Matters on the horizon, which... some people have screeners and are already kind of spoiling, which I kind of hate that. But I think the consensus is they're surprised at how not good Portia comes across in her own spinoff show.
Mm-hmm. That's what I heard too from like the Queens of Bravo or whatever.
Yes,
that
the Queens. I mean, we're the Queens, right?
Well, no. I mean, maybe it's Bravo watchers in Queens, the borough.
Yeah. Maybe, perhaps. But the other tidbit is, you know, the book is about to come out, I guess perfectly timed with the release of the show, The Pursuit of Portia. And one big revelation that we are learning is like a very bad history that Portia Williams had in terms of kind of just like men in her life in general, that kind of formed like the way that she interacts with men and like has affected her relationships with men. And one of those relationships in particular were with R. Kelly. And the Variety article details like how terrible that was, like being put in situations with like a whole bunch of women. And then subsequently meeting, not meeting him, but seeing him once again many years later in her Dish Nation role, and him like not even recollecting who she was.
That is crazy. I mean, obviously everyone knows all of the awful things that R. Kelly has done that's been covered in media the past like 2 years or however. But I don't think I had any idea that Portia was involved in any way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I am curious to see, like, as the book is released, you know, what else comes of the book, and if I'm tempted to like dive into it myself. You know, both you and I are really into listening to these recent autobiographies that are coming out.
Yeah, I'm listening to Alaska from Drag Race's one right now.
Yeah, so I think we need to know, does Portia narrate?
She must.
She must. I mean, it would be a mistake if she didn't.
She's so familiar with like being on mic through like Dish Nation. Like she needs to get on mic for this.
Yeah, for sure. So hop on the mic. But besides that, the other thing going on in the news is something that kind of started coming out like late last week. The fact that Karen Huger is getting a spinoff show.
I mean, has it been reported in any like reputable places aside from Come Through Queen?
So in one of the sources I checked out, which is all about RH.com, there
sounds legit.
There was seemingly a picture of Karen doing a confessional, not in a look that we saw in Potomac with her, like with Raven, her daughter, like arm in arm with her.
Okay.
So to me, that is some evidence. Right?
It's some evidence, but it could also be a situation where they had filmed for Potomac and it wasn't used, right?
I don't think we have ever seen evidence of confessional looks that have not come to air.
Because they weren't used. Confessional looks up until the past couple years have been under lock and key.
Okay.
Like we never used to like see the looks and then post like posting photos in front of the green screen until like, I mean like Denise Richards is one of the first.
Okay. Well, so the other thing that makes me kind of believe it is apparently it's already wrapped. Apparently what it is a family show. And this like does not make me believe it, with just her, Ray, Raven and Brandon, who Brandon's barely been on the show. Mm-hmm. And, but then back to what makes me believe it is that it's set to premiere in early 2022. And I would imagine it is in the Sunday night block, which is where Portia's Family Matters is going to be. That is only going to be so many episodes. And then we've only really got off the ground with Atlanta in the past few weeks.
Yeah, it's interesting because it's like, it's weird that we're getting this style of spinoff that feels very 2013, 2014 to me, when all the girls were getting like their little wedding spinoffs.
Yeah.
I'm interested in it as far as like Potomac people who like should get family spinoffs. I'm not even saying that. I was thinking top contender would be like Wendy's family for me.
Whose family?
Because we've like Wendy.
Oh,
Dr. Wynn.
Okay.
Because we spent a lot of time for them. I mean, obviously Giselle's number two.
But okay, yeah, that's what I thought you were gonna say.
Well, no, I mean, I want to throw people for a loop every once in a while. It can't be too obvious. Yeah. But I mean, like, we've spent a lot of time with Iosefos, and I feel like that would be an interesting thing. Giselle and the Daughters would be an interesting thing. An hour every week of the Daughters dragging Giselle to hell. Who doesn't want to see that?
I mean, I did not think about it, but I think both Wendy and Candace legitimately have a lot going on in their lives to cover, to fill out a show.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas I don't know what Karen and Giselle are doing besides being on TV.
Well, these shows are mostly about antics anyways. Like, when they spin you off, you're doing a lot of antics. That's why the Manzo show lasted so long, because the Manzos were so good at antics.
I mean, that's like, they created antics, really.
It's like, these shows are designed to be early Kardashians, where it's like, oh, we decided to buy some chickens. Let's see, like, what Caitlyn does with the chickens or whatever.
Yeah. Okay. Hopefully we get like a little bit more information soon, some more solid confirmation. Hopefully this is not just a fan fiction that we're reporting on in a news segment.
I know. And like, that's why I asked if we have a reputable source, because I want to keep ourselves honest.
Yeah. I mean, we don't have any E! Online. We don't have a People. We don't have a Variety. We're in the blogs.
We're in the blogs. And sometimes you got to be in the blogs on Thanksgiving week, because that's all that's giving anything.
Yeah, it's the one that's given thanks. Okay, so we have no Pump Rules this week, which is interesting. Like, what? Why did we take off for that?
I was confused by it too when I saw that Rugget's Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip was airing on my television screen.
Yeah.
I guess to give, because Pump Rules is such low priority right now, and like, let's give the girls, the All-Stars, a little promo on the actual TV.
Yeah. I mean, the Rugged rollout has truly been psychotic. We do not know when the next episode is going to air, where, how, why.
Well, we know where.
Yeah, we know, but like, episode one's on Bravo.
Yeah.
But like, you kind of have to be at the mindset of like, always be ready. You know,
the thing about TV and things is like, it's run by people like us who just like, everyone's kind of a mess, especially after the last 18 months. So the people at Peacock are just trying their best here.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Wow. Really like supporting the corporation. Love it. hoping for that.
No, I'm supporting the people, because people are not corporations.
Mm-hmm. No, but the Supreme Court famously,
despite what the Supreme Court famously said. Yeah, but.
Okay. So
how did we get here?
Let's get to part three of Potomac. We are picking up with Zen Wen. You know, the fan reaction to Zen Wen, they're not loving it. And, you know, I feel like I'm loving it because she's awake, number one. You know?
She's awake.
Sometimes these girls, they come to the reunion, they're a little sleepy. Remember that, like, one season Vicky was asleep? Remember that one season Erica Jane was asleep? To me, yeah.
Well, Vicky like actually took a pill to make herself asleep that year.
Yeah. So I like when we're awake. And then, you know, Zen Wen, I feel like she is able to like make her arguments. And sometimes I don't agree with it, but like, at least we are engaging in conversation.
And can I say something about Zen Wen in this season? People like, some people seem to have turned on her, but like, think about what we like from these shows. We like the ridiculous. We like the iconography. Like, the fact that she is embroiled in this dispute about candle wicks, that is something brand new that we've never seen on these shows. Yeah. And that is something that we love to see. Even her behavior on this reunion, like her total, like, high and low as far as reunion props, going to the Kinko's and getting the big poster board of the text message, and then just seconds later bringing a loose leaf folder when last year we had the binder. I feel like she really is bringing the ridiculousness Housewives behavior that we appreciate.
Okay, I think the other thing to consider is I like that the stakes are lower in terms of, it's not a Candace and Monique scuffle, it's not a Erica Jane scandal, it's not a Jen Shah arrest. It's a little easier to digest.
Yeah, but the stakes are high for Wendy, which is why she's acting in the way she does. Because, like, think of if I started saying that the blogs are saying that you're cheating on Alex or whatever. Yeah. You'd be mad at me.
Of course. And I do think, like, I'm glad she was able to drive home the point of the hundreds versus million-ish.
Millions.
She said millions, but I think it's million-ish.
I think she said, like, 100 million. And I was like, is that what they're getting in the ratings?
I mean, like,
Who's doing the math here?
I follow Bravo ratings on Twitter. And we are cracking a million over on Potomac. But, like...
The funny thing about that Twitter account is we all believe everything they say, which maybe rightfully so. No, but like they've never linked out to a source in a tweet that I've seen.
I believe. Okay. Yeah. So that's kind of Zen Wen. We are finally touching down on Robin, who we have not even discussed at all this reunion.
I know, to get the Robin package in hour three. Kind of rough.
Yeah. I did not love the answer in terms of like, I can't imagine we would not be able to work with Macy's and TJ Maxx or whatever and like maybe rethink the way we are putting out the product.
Right.
Because she's saying like, my profits are so tight that I got to kill it on e-commerce and I am killing it on e-commerce. But I would think if you partner with one of these bigger brands, you're able to like expand your production, maybe lower the cost, do this or that. Like, listen, I'm not a hat maker, but I'm just I think the reaction of all the other ladies and Andy were kind of like, oh my God, like, how are you passing up this opportunity?
Right. The question is, have you bought from Embellish, Dan?
Well, I'm not the target market. Because as we learned, like the selling point is the silk protective thing in the hat.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
You could still support your number two girl, though.
I know. There actually was one design I was feeling, but it was always sold out. So
okay,
I'm not going to be like checking Embellish on a daily basis.
Okay.
Which is why we need Macy's in there to get like the stock.
So you can walk through Macy's 34th Street.
Yeah. And it will be a miracle that I could find the Embellish hat that I want. Okay. And then we're also discussing Juan. And I mean, this comes up later, but you know, it's like we get Juan and we don't get Juan.
Right.
You know? And I understand the argument in terms of like, he has an actual job that he has to attend and it's not a job where it could be like, I'm taking off this week. I'm not taking off this week, blah, blah, blah. But then I don't know. It's just, I feel like that the Juan is the pull for Robin. And if we're not getting Juan, I think her position is in jeopardy.
The interesting is Andy's access point for understanding what Robin was saying here was Jen Shaw.
Oh my God. I know.
And Coach Shaw.
And like that, this is all filmed in a post Jen Shaw world. So for him to utter her name in this was a shock to me.
My thing with like that in that profession, a coaching profession, I get that you're like shaping lives of these athletes and doing a lot of good.
Yeah.
But like, maybe let's figure out a schedule where like one coach can take a little time off and like a little rotating schedule or something to get people home with their families. And it also like if the coaches are spending so much time or the students are like not always there because the coaches have to go find other students to coach or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. You're thinking more students, more coaches, more of everything.
Yeah, just maybe like we all need a little personal time and time with our wives, our ex-wives.
Yeah, time with our fiance, ex-wife, future wife.
Yeah, I'm just advocating. If anyone knows that whoever runs all the sports in this country, let them know my thoughts.
Yeah. Okay. We're getting all the husbands out. And this is like in conjunction with my Juan conversation in terms of, I don't love all the husbands coming out and looking all lopsided. Like we got like three husbands on this side. We got one on the other side. Mm-hmm. Where's Michael? Where's Juan? Where's the luggage?
yeah, literally the only person who doesn't have a partner right now is Giselle. So like, where's everyone else?
So I almost want to say all or nothing, or bring out the one that we really need to talk to, which is Chris Bassett.
Yes.
Because like, listen, I love Eddie. I stand Eddie, but I don't really need him there. Ray, I've never needed there. And then actually, G...
Wait, are you saying you want Ray to drop dead? Is that what you're saying?
I want him 6 feet on. No, I would never. I want Ray to live. I was worried about him getting all close to Nikki in that video that Nikki posted.
Okay, let's not act like he's like 1,000 years old.
He's in his 70s.
Good.
Okay, he's vaccinated. Good. Yeah. But let me touch on G before we get to the other men. G, surprise that he kind of came out there like tail between the legs, ready to just make nice.
I know, wild. It's interesting because do we think we'll ever see his face again?
I don't think we'll ever see either of their faces again.
Yeah, exactly.
That's like the vibe I'm getting right now.
Mm-hmm. One season wonder.
I even think like Mia is almost like mentally preparing for this departure as we like close out the season and contract season begins.
Well, I mean, definitely on social media, she's basically saying she's not coming back. But I wonder, do you think she would have? I think she probably would have been invited back if she wanted to come.
Oh, right? Yeah. No. Oh, you? No, actually, I don't know. You think this is her choice? I don't think this is her choice.
I don't know. The way she's acting on, like, I don't see anything in the show that would be like, oh, we don't need her anymore. Because I think she was a big part of this season as far as, like, the end of season drama.
I think the problem is, who does she film with?
Right.
You know, she can't just film with G.
Right. But yeah. I mean, like, everyone else can kind of make nice with her in a way.
Yeah, I just don't know if they were... Usually a reunion is setting up the making nice for the next season.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I don't see that happening right now. But I, like, G flabbergasting Ashley with his apology was, like, enjoyable to watch.
Oh, yeah. Ashley.
Ashley. Okay, Ashley. It's interesting how much we are talking about the Michael Juan love affair, I would suck his dick conversation, like so far from when it happened.
Well, because what Ashley does, Ashley's sitting here literally rewriting history. She is pretending like Michael is like this perfect man who does nothing wrong. And we have years and years of evidence of him sexually harassing people, grabbing asses, like years in, from season one, episode whatever that was, that party we were at.
Yeah.
So it's like her wanting to rewrite history on Michael, it's just like the most frustrating thing about Ashley. And it's like, I feel like every year we're like, oh, the finale last season, that was the last straw. She's finally going to wake the fuck up and get the fuck out of there. Wow. But no, it just keeps on happening and happening.
Yeah. Well, I think the quick pregnancy of the second child kind of stopped anything from happening. You know what I mean?
Right. But like, we have to stop acting like Ashley is like feeling like, we have to stop acting like Ashley is one day going to wake up, a light's going to turn on, and she's going to be like, bye, Michael. Because if she wanted to, and she's seen the behavior for the past several years, she would have done it.
Yeah. Ooh. The Eddie stuff was interesting in terms of him just being like, yeah, I'm going to be cordial to Giselle, but it's not like I'm best friends with her, you know?
Right.
There wasn't really much to Ray. But then I think to me, the one that, because you know how sometimes in other cities, one husband comes out?
Yes.
It would have been Chris Bassett, because I think that's where the most stuff is going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fact that Mama Dot calls, I think that was a production choice, right?
I love that.
But like, there's no way that as we are seated in this like many hour day, she calls at the perfect time for conversation to come up, right?
Yeah. No, I think you're right. I think you're onto something.
Yeah. So
these TV shows are produced.
They are produced. There are producers like in the credits. Yeah. So this whole conversation is riveting to me in terms of Candace navigating what's going on with her family.
It's just the things that these people are willing to say about in-laws, relatives on television is always so wild to me. And it's like, then they're expected to like hang out without the TV cameras and like get along.
Well, yeah. I mean, Candace talking about, I have to go to my in-laws and face them with everything that has been said by my mother.
Right. Exactly. Bleak. Wow. I would like, have we met Chris Bassett's parents?
No.
Definitely not. I would like to meet them. I would love to meet them.
I'm surprised. Like, were they at the wedding? Did they get a Chiron?
They must have been.
Did we get a Chiron?
I don't know, but I'd love to go to dinner with them. Not me personally, but like on the show.
Yeah. You know what's kind of interesting is that in the beginning, we met his kids, but that the kid conversation did not come up at all in the reunion.
Oh, yeah. That one episode. I mean, maybe a couple.
It was like a few episodes, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that was not brought up at all during the reunion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then throughout this episode, we're teasing Andiana Minaj.
The way that Andy's like going to like see her in the middle during breaks and like all this rollout, it's like it was kind of enjoyable as far as like a new element added to the reunion, something we've never seen, and them trying to trick these women.
Yeah. It's just, it sucks that this is occurring with such a polarizing figure in terms of everything going on in her own marriage.
Her own marriage. The thing, like, her husband's victim appearing on The Real, which is, like, The Real is kind of part of the Bravo cinematic universe, or The Real Housewives. It is part of The Real Housewives cinematic universe, with Garcelle being a host. It's just wild.
On the heels of all the vaccine stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you kind of have to disassociate and glaze over in order to like find any enjoyment in it. But then at the same time, like, it is enjoyable because it's so different from everything we've ever experienced during a reunion.
Yeah. It's a whole new world.
Yeah. I don't know if I like, she's the best person to be challenging the women.
She's not at all, and that's what makes it interesting.
Yeah.
It's almost like you're basically grabbing Danielle Staub and being like, host a reunion episode.
Yeah, sure.
It's like putting a really polarizing housewife in Andy's chair.
Yeah.
Which makes it interesting.
Yeah. We got a taste of what's to come in terms of, you know, she just sits in the chair and then goes after Ashley immediately.
I know. And it sounded like from the interview that we're going to talk about with Wendy Osefo that she's going to go one by one.
I know. Well, you could see as Nikki is going after Ashley, Karen and Wendy grabbing each other in fright. Because it's so aggressive.
And it's also just like, I mean, if you think about it, it's more than just what happens on the TV screen. It's going to be everything that happens after the episode airs, because the Barbs are the most powerful people on the internet.
Yeah.
In a way.
And I loved Candy Gal defending Ashley.
Mm-hmm.
And like, there's photos that have come out of the two of them posing together at the reunion. Which this is what I like. This is what I want to see. I like it.
They studied at the Tamara Barney Judd School of Housewivery.
Famously number 3 on our all-time housewives list.
Yeah,
trying to climb the ladder.
They're doing what Tamara did, or I hope they do what Tamara did with Gretchen back in the day, which we actually covered in on our Patreon recently because we covered the first two episodes of Heather Bro's first season. And that is also the time when Tamara and Gretchen decide to do a truce and become besties.
Oh, my God. And this upcoming season of Potomac would be season 7, which was season that 7 season? Of OC.
Wow.
Wow, Bethany.
Whoa. You could write a term paper on that shit.
Oh, I sure can.
I mean, actually, it would need to be after season 7 airs to, like, find all the other parallels, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Yeah. I love this reunion. Mm-hmm. I can't wait for the next part. And then I just also can't wait for the rumblings of season 7.
What's happening? Yeah, in Potomac in season 7. Ooh, will we have season 7 with 4 OGs?
Oh my God. We all know the one that's most at risk is Robin.
Yes.
Yeah. So I want it to happen.
I think, like, it would be nice if we get to a point in some Housewife cities that, like, they've proven enough that they work well together and that, like, they're actual friends on some level that we don't have to have, like, a continuously changing every single season, every aspect of the cast.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, let's put our skis on and go to Salt Lake City.
Let's get the dogs out or whatever. Is that animal abuse? That feels like animal abuse.
They look like they're having fun. I don't know. Okay. Okay, I gotta say, you know, everyone was hooting and hollering about the prior week's episode. Mm-hmm. In some ways, this episode to me was even better.
Yes, and I agree. I just feel like Salt Lake City is getting better and better as the weeks go on.
So, you know, we all loved Beverly Hills this season. But I feel like right now in Salt Lake, these past two episodes, we are reaching higher heights.
Mm-hmm.
Than any one particular episode of Beverly Hills that just aired.
And you know what it is? It's all casting.
Mm-hmm.
It's this cast is like so good in a lot of ways and so weird in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
I tweeted something along these lines, but it's great when we have like a cohesive group of friends to like bring us through one of these Housewives seasons, but it's also fun when we've got like some almost Alex McCordian energy with some weirdos popped in.
Sure.
So that the rest of the group can react and like play that game too.
And I want to point out something to you that you listening as a listener may not have realized. This episode is the first time we are all on a trip together.
We're not, though.
But like not Jen Shah, because Jen Shah's in jail right now. but there has not been there's not been a trip on Salt Lake City until this episode.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, like, I get your point, but it's unfortunately because Jen Shah got arrested, it still doesn't true. It's not true. So we have to get to the point where we all are on the same trip.
In a way. Jen Shah's presence is the biggest presence on this trip.
I love you trying to like get this in there, but unfortunately I can't give it to you until we're actually all on the same trip.
Okay.
And like if we had all been in that limo together at one point, I could see the argument, but unfortunately Mary and Meredith ruined that. So,
oh my God. I got to say, this episode made me more upset about the fact that we were not in the limo together.
Yeah.
I was so annoyed about that.
Could you imagine Mary in that limo? What like, would have happened?
Biting chips and saying ouch while the women are like actually digesting what's going on.
Like, let's redo it and put her in that limo.
Yeah.
Oh, but, and like Meredith Marks does not participate in such bits of traveling, I don't think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, she lives in New York City, so what does she got to do? Okay. We're picking up with the dinner from the prior night. And I think the conversation is like mostly at this point about, I guess the shocker of this moment is is Jen Shah cheating on Sharif?
I know. When Meredith went over to like hug Lisa.
Yeah. Yes.
That Meredith, she's just showing us a new person all the time. There's okay. layers. She's an onion.
She is like, you know, we'll call Mary a weirdo. We'll call Jenny a weirdo. We'll call Lisa Barlow a weirdo. Meredith Marks is a big time weirdo.
Oh yeah, maybe the biggest.
The biggest weirdo, I think.
It's just like when we like an alien, if I've ever seen one.
Yeah.
I think it's the wealth that she has, the lifestyle that she lives. So that like when she's around the rest of these women, it's so confusing.
Yeah. I need to get my head around the wealth in terms of...
Is it real?
Not is it real, but how did we get from A to B?
I don't know. But it's like the lifestyle that she lives. They're always on like a roof.
Because she has a JD and MBA. Two graduate degrees. Right? Seemingly never practiced law, I think.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're obsessed with this part.
I am obsessed with that part. Seth, he's... What is he doing? Liquidating? Is that what he's doing?
I don't even know what liquidating is.
I think this was briefly explained during season one, either in the season or during the reunion, in terms of he like goes to a failing company and kind of just like...
Turns them to liquid.
Turns them to... You're like liquidating. Alex Maxa.
You know, literally liquidating sounds like something from like Ghostbusters.
Okay.
Like you get out that like machine and then like there's the guy from the high C box and you liquidate him.
Or you Secret Life of Alex Mack and turn into a little metal puddle.
Yeah. It could also be like Family Double Dare when they do the slime down. Okay. That's liquidating.
Yeah. Is there generational wealth involved?
Generosity of spirit. I don't know.
There's so many possibilities. I hope we do solve the mystery of Meredith Marks someday. I also was so disappointed with the fact that we were like in the throes of this dinner, went to commercial, and then came back waking up the next morning.
I know, that was stupid.
I want to see footage of who's staying up at night, who's chatting, who's going to bed.
Mm-hmm.
This could have been probably a full episode of that dinner alone.
I know. And it was like, we didn't even get to the point where Meredith was basically putting her ultimatum down and drawing her little line in the sand of like, I don't want to talk. Like, I don't want to be around her. And Jenny's like trying to say something about her relationship with Jen, a person she's met like once or twice.
Yes, twice.
And then Lisa Barlow's like at this point very much team Meredith, but like we've seen on social that's going to change. So,
yeah. This could have gone all night. Yeah.
And then the breakfast scene could have been another full episode.
Oh my God.
Just like the dynamics.
Okay. Just before the breakfast scene, I want to say, I think my problem with Heather Gay is she's almost overcompensating for everything she's been taught and raised to think.
Yeah.
She's like, okay, don't love the sinner or whatever she was talking about in terms of in Mormonism, you know, you're told to like shun the person. And she's like, no, I want to bring her in.
Right. What she said was along the lines of when everyone's like fleeing,
yes,
I'm going in. Like she thinks she's a firefighter in the Jen Shah house.
Yes. And that Shah shocker on fire.
Yeah.
Okay. So the next morning, breakfast. That breakfast could have been the breakfast episode.
It really could have been from like Heather Gay. Heather Gay say, what did she say? Like, if you're leaning, you could be cleaning.
She's making the mimosas. She's yelling at Whitney because Whitney's not doing anything.
The French toast.
She's making mounds of French toast, like as far as the eye can see.
I will say, when Whitney was making her one egg, I was kind of with Mary as far as like when you're on, when you're like on a trip like that, like if you're making eggs, you got to make it for everyone.
Yeah. Okay. So she was making what appeared to be a well done over easy egg.
Yeah.
That was truly like a, it's like beyond crispy. It was a charred egg. And yeah. then, and so that's not something you can like easily make on that. And that's like when I'm cooking in a Provincetown situation, we are doing a large scramble, unless I'm trying to show off and I'm doing like perfectly poached eggs for everybody.
Oh, you love to fucking show off. No, but that's what I mean. Like a large scramble is pretty typical and yeah. what you would, I mean, I feel like she needs to learn a little bit. Like if you're going to make one egg, like yeah. get the large scramble going on the side. Otherwise you look like an asshole.
Yeah. So, but also I'm not trying to make eggs for my enemies or eggs as when he called it, I'm not making her an egg.
Oh my God.
Okay. So Mary grabbing the plate with the well done egg, and there was avocado on that plate as well.
Ugh.
Putting that plate in the microwave, placing the paper towel on top and nuking it was truly next level.
I mean, I almost think the worst off part of that is the avocado.
Yeah, that is pretty. Yeah. Like who wants to eat a steamy hot avocado?
It's like the best part about an avocado is when it's like cold and fresh,
cold,
baby.
Fresh, creamy, etc.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lisa Barlow, B, berries, bacon, Barlow.
Brendan.
Wow. Love the gals splitting off. Who's doing the dog sledding? Who's doing the veil shops and ice skating?
This is Classic Housewives, which I love.
The Classic Housewives splitting off into groups.
Which would you choose?
I would love to try to fit both in the schedule. Are you talking about who would I choose to hang out with?
No, like what activity?
Yeah, it's hard. Maybe the dog sledding, just because while I would like to do ice skating again at some point in my life, the wrist is a worry for me. My weak wrist.
True. And if you have Zyrtec, which that was a funny fucking moment when the, oh, the yeah. guy, I think his name was Guy. His name was like Austin or Guy. He thought the dog was named Zyrtec or yeah. like someone's dog was named Zyrtec. That was funny.
Yeah. I mean, I am pretty allergic to dogs, but not so much like in an outside setting. I think it's kind of like COVID, you know, like if we're outside, we're good. You know?
Yeah. I still am uncomfortable with the dog sledding because I don't know if it's bad or not. I would need like someone's opinion.
Okay.
And then I actually spent a lot of time as a kid. Eighth grade was a big year ice skating, spending time at the ice skating rink for me. So feels like we would like hang out there on a Friday night.
Oh my God. You know, in middle school, they loved going to the ice skating rink and to the roller rink, and I was rarely invited. So maybe that's why I don't want to go ice skating.
Seventh grade was the roller rink, and it wasn't about like skating. It was about like hanging out yeah. like, around the arcade and like just like talking with people. You know, like those are the big days of like you find like a corner to just hang out with your friends and sit on the floor.
Yeah.
And, like that's your social life, but it's in a place where your parents feel comfortable that you're safe.
Yeah. Yeah. I just wasn't part of that scene. But like, you know, ooh, but like,
I was invited.
You know what's funny is like, is you think, I feel like if some people, if they were not invited, they'd be like, oh my God, like, but then I was just like having the time of my life gaming at
Well, yeah, I had years like that as a youth. Like in high school, there was like one summer where all I did was like go to work and like hang out by myself and like
yeah.
chat with people online. And I was totally fine with that. And
yeah.
when we got back to school, I still had plenty of friends.
Yeah. You need to be comfortable like hanging out with yourself.
I know. Yeah. I mean, I was going to spend Thanksgiving just alone in the city. And I swear, like, people had that reaction. Or, like, my mom was, like, worried about me. And I'm, like, I'm just, I want to walk around.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that anymore.
Okay. don't worry. Oh, listeners.
I'm having Thanksgiving dinner with people in my home. But, yes.
Okay. Yeah. So, the thing when they were walking around Vale, when Mary says, when they were saying, oh, what does this remind you of? And Mary says, reminds me of Harry Potter in Disneyland.
Hilarious, because it's in Universal.
It's kind of, you know, I don't expect everyone to know the ins and outs of, like, you know, Marvel is the superheroes and that's owned by Disney and this or that. But I think it's pretty common knowledge that Harry Potter is not part of the Disney Cinematic Universe.
Also, you would think an NBC Universal employee
yes,
would know
that. Please, please. I mean, Andy, get her on the horn. Okay. So we have that. Then we have our little, oh my God, I'm going to fuck up I want to mispronounce this. Raclette?
You should look to Google.
Well, it's a cheese. It's a cheese, yeah. Right? True. And listen, I love food. So into learning about different foods from different countries. Literally never heard about any of this, probably because it's so cheese forward. Have you heard about this?
It seemed familiar-ish, but
yeah,
I don't know.
There's just so many different steps that I wasn't really understanding. Like, we're calling it a fondue, but there seems to be a hibachi element to it, or kind of like, I don't even know what.
Just like a grill that you're like cooking your own food. But I think that's sometimes part of fondue culture.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Well, no, like, actually fondue culture is like, they bring you another bowl with like oil that you like dip your thing. Oh, I don't know. I think so. I've never been to the Melting Pot.
Oh,
do you remember when that was a big thing?
You know what's funny? I have been to the Melting Pot, but I think I just disassociated because I could not partake in so much of it. I just have no recollection of what I did.
Was it the one in Boston? Because I remember walking by that one all the time.
I think it was in Jersey somewhere.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that Melting Pot is New Jersey.
Yeah. Oh my God. But side note, that made me remember in Boston, Fire and Ice?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Disgusting.
No, went I there loved like it. I loved
one
it.
Time. Went there one time the first week that I lived in Boston, my freshman year, and never went back.
Yeah.
Basically, what it was, listeners, it's like a place where you walk around to these different stations. I might not remember it completely correctly.
Yeah,
and there's like raw ingredients. Yeah. There's like vegetables, like other stuff that you can put into this bowl with like maybe rice or something. I don't know.
Sure.
And then you bring it to this like giant space where there's these people who are running this big grill.
Yes.
And they like cook your like bowl of stuff on that grill and you like stand there and like wait for them to do that. Then you go back to your table and you eat.
Yeah. No, I loved it. I mean, because it's kind of like, it's like a buffet meets a hibachi situation. But then for me, there was like the added level of fear/thrill in terms of I'm praying that the person next to me doesn't have a cheese element in their dish that
will
spill over into mine.
I thought you meant like the fear of like salmonella.
No.
The problem with spaces like that and like buffets in general actually is like, not everyone's on the same schedule when you go to the buffet. So some people take a longer time. And like the point of going out to eat with people oftentimes is to talk to people. So like sometimes you don't have like other people at the table with you. We used to go to this place all the time as kids called Ryan's Country Buffet. Like we were regulars and my grandpa knew everyone there. And it's like, it was great. There's so many options and it's amazing. But then like when sitting at the table, sometimes you're just there alone.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of like when you're on vacation.
Like we just
and
said,
you have the breakfast buffet. Yeah.
Yeah. And like we just said, we are comfortable with being alone, but like dining out, you want to be with people.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay. So Mary is like truly too on at this event, but not in like I'm drunk, just like she's on one. All starting with like talking to the camera, being like, oh, I just talked to myself. It's because of the pandemic. And like, have we ever seen a housewife look dead on and speak dead on to the camera so much in a scene?
I don't think so, but we love to see it, I think.
Charting new paths. So we have our little dinner. It quickly turns into dessert right away. We go outside. We learn about the dietetic s'more.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mary and Whitney get into it. Mary's pretending to fall asleep, which was iconic. Like watching Mary and Lisa nuzzle on Meredith from both sides.
The pretending to fall asleep, Vicky convulsing about.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone's pretty drunk too because they've been doing shots, shot skis, luges.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, have you ever spent time doing luges? The like a luge?
There were a few during college.
Tim and Trang's wedding had one. Do you remember?
There was
that?
A few at weddings. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, I am not a big proponent of shot culture to begin with.
Yeah,
especially,
it's scary.
Especially in my advanced age.
Yeah, yeah. Now that you're getting up there with Ray, it really is.
Yeah, we got to like protect ourselves first and foremost. So yeah, not looking to do luges, but I guess if I was on a show, I would be partaking.
That's true.
So then when after Mary scampers off, we truly have the moment of moments of talking about Mary once she has departed.
Mm-hmm.
And this is only 3 minutes, but three very important minutes of television, I would say.
Yes.
The religious trauma. Okay. This is where we now have to get to the bottom of why is Meredith riding so hard for Mary?
I have no idea.
It's one thing for us to kind of pretend Mary's a normal person and let's like hang out, interact, blah, blah, blah. But it's another level to be ride or die for this woman.
Yeah, and it's just like interesting, given that Meredith is a weirdo, like we discussed earlier, but she's also been pretty savvy as far as up until recently, as far as how she's kind of like become a Bravo celebrity, figured out, oh, I should be like inviting this person to this thing, like I should be like attending this thing. Or whatever, like, for example, she's become friends with like Dolores, who's like a beloved housewife. So for her to be so cozying up to Mary, given all the like red flags everywhere to me, yeah, is bizarre.
So I think a lot of the Mary stuff in terms of, is this a cult? What's going on? Blah, blah, blah. That conversation was happening during season one. So
Mary, it was happening pre-season one.
Pre-season one, but even more during season one. So Meredith, yeah, you were walking into season two and being like, oh, I'm going to bat for this woman.
I don't get it.
Rather than just sitting back and let's see how it plays out.
Yeah, and my thing is, her and Barlow seemed like they were close friends last year. And then there's even glimpses of it this year. And I forgot to talk about it when we were talking about the ice skating thing, but Barlow and Meredith walking through that town with those huge puffer,
yes,
jackets that, yeah, like go down to their knees and then wearing the ice skating costumes or whatever. It's like,
yeah,
they're obviously like coordinating on something. Why, yeah, can't they coordinate on like their reaction to Mary?
Yeah. Okay. But Lisa Barlow, what's the producing and being a sniper from the side and
knowing when to pivot,
knowing when to all these antics. And then I think part of the joy in watching it is how not good of a job she's doing at it. But the blurting out, he mortgages his house and gave her $300,000 was an iconic moment in television history.
It really, really was.
Okay. Something else before we get to Watch Women's Live. And there's been a little bit of chatter about this, and I think I need to dive into it this weekend. And I watched the first 5 minutes of it. Apparently the after show for the most recent two episodes is kind of like untucked. If you're not watching the after show, you're only getting half the story.
Okay.
The first 5 minutes of last week's after show, which I was able to watch today, they build it up with Jen Shah like taking a seat at the after show.
Really?
Yeah. Jen Shah is part of the after show.
Oh my God.
Because famously, Erica Jane was not part of the Beverly Hills After Show.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I got lost for 1 second, and I thought you were talking about the Watch What Happens Live After Show, but now I know you're talking about the...
It's a YouTube
Bravo shouldn't
show.
Have so many... I know, Bravo shouldn't have so many after shows. Call it something else. But yes, now I'm on... that makes sense. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, you know, they air after shows, so... For all the shows, they start like halfway through the season. You never even know, should I be watching this? Should I not be watching this? I do think this kind of might be important. The reason I'm bringing this up now is in Watch Happens Live and also this after show, Meredith Marks is dying on this hill of, well, if Cameron was not coerced to mortgage his home and give Mary $300,000, then it's okay.
Right.
And then she compares on Watch What Happens Live the $300,000 to the $1 million donation from that guy to the LGBTQ organization at Angie's charity event, which I don't see how you can compare the two.
Yeah. It's like one of them... From the outside looking in, Cameron is being told by his faith leader that he has to give money in order to, I guess the way that they talk about it in those spaces is like, help the church. And then like the way that Mary might bring it to the next level, it could be like, allegedly like to get to heaven. Yeah. It's like a totally different transaction as far as like where someone's coming from.
Okay. So with the donation to the organization, the LGBTQ organization, this man is just a wealthy man, like a wealthy businessman who is not going into debt to make this donation. Cameron should not be going into debt to contribute to this church for a church leader who is living this lavish lifestyle, owns multiple properties across the United States, maybe internationally as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why should a parishioner be mortgaging their home and contributing a dollar when this woman is like living a very not comfortable life, like an extravagant life?
Yeah. And it's like Meredith's trying to look at this, like, I guess, quote unquote, legally or whatever, when she should be looking at it morally. And it's like bizarre that she's on this hill, like willing to die for Mary Wright's.
Yeah, I'm dying to get to the reunion, but Andy's reaction to her saying, "Oh, well, was it coerced?" And he's like, "Oh, interesting." Like, no, that's not the reaction I want. Like, does it need to be coerced or coerced?
It's also interesting watching, like, Amy Phillips was the guest when Meredith was on, and it's interesting watching somebody who is so in, like, Amy Phillips' job is to recap Bravo. Yes. So she is like living in the same world that like we're probably living in as far as like the way that a lot of Bravo fans see it. So it's like, it was interesting to see her body language when Meredith was like, going down in a fire on Watch What Happens Live. And I just thought, like, go watch the videos because it is an interesting, like, experience. And it's something that Dan and I, you and I have talked about privately. A couple of these SLC wives have used their Watch What Happens Live appearances to, like, take away any, like, good graces that the fans have for them. Like, Heather Gay's appearances have been, like, psycho too.
Yeah. But what's strange is I don't really see an anti-Meredith reaction yet. Maybe we'll come to that next week. Because not everyone watches Watch What Happens Live, I guess.
Yeah.
So at this point...
That's a good point, but...
Yeah. I don't know.
Maybe it's too... Maybe she's convinced some people as the lawyer she is. And maybe people are agreeing with her because she's making a quote-unquote good argument.
Yeah. I mean, the preview for next week looks really great. I mean, it seems like Heather is now anti-Mary, but then she doesn't act like that on Watch What Happens Live, so I don't even know what to make of anything.
Which is weird that she doesn't act like that on Watch What Happens Live, because Mary has come after her on social media. It's just like, it's a lot.
Everyone's so weird. Is the least weird one Whitney?
But she's got other weird things.
Oh yeah, she's, I'm saying least, not weird. To me,
I guess she's the
one I feel like I could land with somewhere. I don't know.
Well, yeah, after her logical turn during last week's bus ride, where she was like spitting out facts about something I had no idea about.
Mm, yeah. Okay, let's continue on our skis from Vail, ski cross country to Vermont for the Winter House finale.
Yes, and I want to preface this by saying that my YouTube TV fucked up, so I only joined the show 20 minutes in. So Dan needs to like explain some things to me.
Okay, we're picking up from the last episode with Sierra and Austin having the heart-to-heart issue about the ex, which is Madison. He got the text from Madison that she was in the hospital or whatever. And then that like sends him to a tailspin. And that's when he was like, oh, Lindsay, I want to cry to you right now. But then like, he doesn't even say what he was trying to say, which sends Lindsay into her own tailspin.
Right.
Yeah. So that's all happening. And like that Lindsay tailspin, it's like two tailspins that are like flying around in space and then eventually crash into each other later on in the episode.
Yes, exactly. It's like there's so much happening in this universe that like we're all going to have to deal with later in life.
Yeah.
Because there's so many shows meeting up.
Which perfectly leads us to the point that was stressing me out, which you also missed, which Craig gets a text from Natalie, which is his current girlfriend, saying that she went out to dinner with Madison the night before. And then we get a flashback from like Watch What Happens Live footage and maybe Southern Charm reunion footage of like Madison talking shit about Natalie. And now it's like me jumping into movie 23 of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Right. It's like, well, it's kind of like you're randomly watching WandaVision because it's good, but then it's, there's so much other shit that you have to catch up on because you watch WandaVision.
Exactly. So I feel like Southern Charm might become required viewing once again, which is a lot to take on.
I mean, I guess we'll do it. I guess we'll do it because
we'll get back to that in a minute.
Can I wait one more thing?
Yeah.
There was a request put in our Facebook group that we start covering Below Deck.
Oh my God.
No, but I feel like there is a world where Below Deck will start to cross over and you have a lot of catching up to do, bitch, because I've already done that work.
Wow. I mean, Alexis Bellino started that train as well as Carrie Brittingham. So
Carrie Brittingham and Cynthia Bailey. Cynthia Bailey was the first, I think.
Oh.
And Claudia Jordan.
Okay.
And the fact that like you're not literally on board the yacht with Claudia Jordan.
Dan. I know. As the Claudia Jordan super fan, I really should.
And as Below Deck becomes the more prominent, more successful franchise on Bravo, we got to think about things, Dan.
Okay, we got to think about things.
coming soon.
Oh my God. Okay, let's return to this episode where the theme of the last full day of skiing is like fighting for gay rights in a way.
Oh, I did see that one screenshot of Batula.
Well, no, there's Batula, and then Craig had like the old pride flag wrapped around his neck.
Good for them, I guess. I mean, but like Craig is also actively hanging out with Tommy Lauren or whatever. So
yeah.
Come on.
Okay. Also, during this last ski day, it reminded me of back when this was filming. And I remember when they started filming, I was like, guys, it's late in the season for us to be doing a winter house. And here we are 17 days later with 55 degree weather and the snow melting. And lo and behold, it's too late to be filming winter house.
Yeah. Is that also the same with like the us trying to do maple syrup at a later point? It's not working because maybe it's too late in the season.
Well, what's funny about the maple syrup is we go collect the maple syrup. I would have loved, could we like boil it down and see the fucking finished product? Luke does not have a storyline. Give us the maple syrup. Like we should be doing like maple syrup drizzled over ice cream or something.
That Minnesota accent really came out this episode. Which it doesn't always do with Luke.
Maybe because he was like fearing going back to the city that the Minnesota was coming out.
Oh yeah, the city was really scary or whatever.
Yeah.
The city was
so
over.
So what's strange with the Paige storyline is that it feels like the Andrea-ness is ramping up at this point.
That is very interesting. Wherein, like, this is why this cinematic universe is so confusing. It's because we're in a whole new world somewhere else in real life. And then we're ramping up with Andrea, setting up two dates, Italian, like going out for Italian, and then doing a movie night. With also more Italian, that he's going to cook his own pizza. And he's telling it to, like, her parents who. They seem like lovely people, but it's like, can't we just get like a van back down to the city?
I mean, to me, it's very like Principessa. Like she is the like golden child daughter in terms of like, let's go pick her up. You know what
I mean?
That's
like a very Italian American thing.
Yeah. Like very De Sorbo.
We don't have that in Irish American culture. It's very much like we're just all trying to figure it out together. Maybe we can order like a fish and a chip. That's Irish American culture.
Okay, but so this episode, I'm like keeping my eye. There's like two moments where like Craig is kind of a little flirty with Paige when he's like knocking on the closet door, and then when they're like laying in the vestibule, even though Paige is laying in. Andrea's lap, she's facing Craig.
Yeah, and especially like when he was like leaving her at the closet and they said like I love you.
Yeah.
Setting up this Marvel universe, bitch.
Okay. Now, as the Amanda Batula super fan, I gotta say, here's my take on what occurred. A producer that is
wait,
like,
no, you can't, you cannot blame this on a producer, bitch.
No. Let me just give my version and you could say whatever you want to say.
Dan's so
a producer that's probably been working with Amanda for years at this point. It's probably like, she's like, what's her name? She's like Heather Thompson. Get up. Like pulling the curtain, waking Amanda up, being like, you gotta do something. Right now.
Dot org.
Go to work. Like, get your check. Because we get this, like, from Austin spiraling into Lindsay, and then Lindsay opening her mouth on the slopes to Amanda, then conference calling it with Kyle in bed, to being like, I gotta have a conversation.
This is, like, this is so... Alex McCordian, I need to deliver the message. Yeah. Like, I'm sorry. I love Amanda Batula with all my heart. But whatever gymnastics she did in her brain during the booby party, that was like, oh, I need to talk to somebody right now. And maybe it was like very producer driven, like, it's our last night, you need to do something. But like, it's her second time with these like delivering a message things this season that makes her look not great.
Well, so the problem is, I think if this whole thing had transpired on day 10 of 17, she'd have a point in terms of you're stringing her along for the week. Like, can you not do that? Whereas this is literally the last night. Like,
yeah,
it's going to play out how it's going to play out. So what's the difference at this point?
It makes no sense. I'm also a big Batula fan, but none of this made sense. Yeah. sense. It was like, it was so randomista. Like, it was after we were given, like, another thing that I was going to talk about was, like, we're drunk montages throughout this entire night. It's like everyone was given like a prompt to be like, do this for a second, like dance by yourself, drink wine by yourself. And it's like so contrived at some points, but then it's like now Batula wants to go confront or like have a sit down with Austin and nobody's in a state where they should be doing that.
Okay, here, now that you mentioned that, this is what's going on in my mind. They're probably so fucking exhausted. they're just doing the antics for 15 minutes. Just
so no, it's antics. Sit it's down it's and drink. Antics.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The thing is, like, if you think about, like, a party like that, it's like our friends, we'd all be, like, just, like, close talking at each other for a while. We'd still be, like, as lit as they are, but we're not, like, doing, like, boop, 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 boop. It's not the circus. We're just, like, close talking, trying to, like, whatever. And everyone, actually, the reality would be if all the Winterhouse people were all trying to take certain kind of selfies to document the night. But we're not even doing that.
Mm. Yeah. I would love an oral history of the full 17 days. What happened on the days that we did not see covered on television? God.
Get on that, Dave
everyone's
Quinn.
Everyone's perspective. I want, like... The not diamonds and all, not diamonds and rose pamphlet version of Winterhouse.
Just oh my god!
A little pamphlet.
So he has not responded to me, but I tweeted at him today because I don't know if you saw at the end of Not All Diamonds and Rose, but there was a list of people who gave interviews who were not included in the book. And one of them was Jen Gilbert from Roni, the famous, like, first friend not the first friend of. And, like, I need Dave Quinn. And I think he follows you. He doesn't follow me. I need him to release the Jen Gilbert tapes.
Give us red Jen Gilbert's version. The 10-minute version.
No, because, like, I mean, we've talked about this at length on this podcast, but, like, that one AP article about her supposed to be a housewife back from, like, 2010 still haunts me, and I still think about it.
Oh, my God. Okay. Maybe I'll see what I can do, Brendan.
Please.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Yeah, so that kind of explodes. And then I gotta give them both credit. The conversation kind of played out the way it should play out in terms of, like, okay, well, like, we'll see what happens, I guess, you know?
Yeah, and I don't want to really give Austin credit here, but I've never really watched Austin a lot because I think he was kind of new the seasons of Southern Charm that I did watch, and I was like,
oh yeah,
now I'm like, I get the attraction in a way.
Oh my god, is loving him red for you?
No, but like even when him and Sarah were talking in, like, the various places when they were, like, doing like knee to knee, like, I'm gonna pull you in, or when they were, like, even in bed together later, I'm oh, this is the kind of guy. He's got, like, he's got that thing that, like, he's got that charm that a lot of guys don't have. And I'm not, like, saying that I, like, want to be with him, but, like, he's got that, like, he's got that one thing to quote One Direction.
Yeah. You know, before we say our goodbyes, I just want to point out the moments where Kyle's like, why do you have three waters on the side of your bed? And she's like, preparing for the apocalypse. And then her asking him to make her an English muffin. A lot of that was stuff I could relate to.
Okay.
Yeah.
I also wanted, I will say that I feel like a couple other details that we didn't really talk about that I want to talk about. One, Julia for the booby party doing a rendition of a look we've seen on Drag Race several times where it's
Amanda did too.
Yeah, where we're trying to like make it look like we're in a we're going to have plastic surgery and we went in for the consultation.
Yeah, they're bringing to the runway.
Yeah, and then I will say, Hub House looked great with those extensions. I was like, oh my god, she's my Barbie girl in my Barbie world.
Wow, I mean, Hub House, someone who like writes up, you know, marriage fan fictions and then telling Jason like, we'll see what happens. I don't want to label anything.
I know. It's truly something. I feel so bad for like Jason is like probably the biggest catch as far as like the guys. Like he's got it all. Mm-hmm. He's got like the good looks. He's got like he can get into the kitchen and like boop boop boop. He can like not be a fuck boy. So mm-hmm. I just like I wish him well.
Yeah. Okay. I gotta say, I'm pretty sure I may have even said it earlier in this episode, prior episodes, I don't know, my fan fiction in my head, end of Winter House, we're getting the Summer House tease.
I think you said it last week, and then you got mad at me when I was ahead in the episode and I actually said there was a Summer House tease.
No, I didn't get mad. I just said merely that you were pulling a Caroline a la when she spoiled A Star Is Born. But thankfully you did not
That's
tell
not
me
the same. That is not the same. The tease
was. You told me just merely the existence of the tease. And okay, once you told me, I was like, okay, now I know for sure what there is a tease. What is it going to be? Are we getting like a tease to the altar for the Cook Petula wedding? Are we getting an in-house antic? Never would I have imagined the tease being an elevator door closing on Craig and Paige making out.
And like, not even, it was like, not even just like a normal makeout. It was like a really hot makeout. It's like,
well, it's kind of like two people who love each other.
It's kind of that, but it's more to me like a forbidden romance makeout.
Oh, where, I don't think it's forbidden.
Not forbidden, but like this was rumored and the elevator's closing and that's like the drama and the mystery of it.
Yeah. I mean, also the tease felt Marvel Cinematic Universe post-credit scene.
Confirmed. Sure.
You know what I mean?
It's Agatha all the way. That wasn't post-credits. I'm just kidding.
It's Agatha all the way.
Now that the Summer House and Marvel Cinematic Universes are in the same space, I would like to see Lindsay Hubbard do some weird musical number at some point.
And get nominated like Catherine Hahn.
I know.
Grammy nominated.
Can we fucking talk about Catherine Hahn for a second?
Oh, I was going to say, can we talk about Grammy for a second? Snubbing Candace.
I don't think it's a
that
snub.
That should be the freak of the
like,
week.
You're not even like on the tape. Candace wasn't, unfortunately, because her music is good. She wasn't really on the table because like, I don't think they look at independent artists in the way that they do like artists with labels behind them.
Well, that's stupid.
Do you know what I mean?
For I know your consideration.
Stupid. Okay.
Wow. So what do you have to say about Catherine Hahn?
Oh, just that I love her. I've loved her since I saw her in Transparent.
Good job.
She's good in everything.
I loved her before that. Yeah, I loved her before Transparent.
I mean, she will EGOT probably, I bet.
Yeah. Although, yeah, I mean, I wonder what, I didn't look at what her competition is for the Grammys, but it'll be good for her to get that out of the way.
Wait, what did you like her in before Transparent?
She was in Parks and Rec.
Oh, I never really like dumped down with Parks and Rec because I always like it came out right after The Office, which I watched. And so I like never really like figured out my space in the Parks and Rec universe.
Sure.
But I support everyone involved unless they're Chris Pratt.
Yeah, I know. That's like the tough part because he was actually pretty good in Parks and Rec, but RIP.
Well, he went to the dark side.
Yeah. Wow, Winter House, 6 episodes. But the Summer House tease, it's got to be around the corner.
I'm thinking February.
That'll be great. Oh my God. And like all the answers will be finally answered. All the questions will
all the answers will finally be answered. You heard it here first.
They will. I just want to know, like, who is our rosé glass holder? Sounds like me right now. Am I the rosé glass holder? Wow. I think we got
Am I the villain?
Maybe I am the doggone villain. Okay. We need to move on to our freak of the week and the one true queen.
Okay. The freak is all you because I haven't not took in this content.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So Alex and I, after like a fun little Saturday day into night situation, we came home. And
sometimes the way you describe things is so funny. A day into night situation. That is,
but you know
we
what I mean.
Yes, yes, you know yes, yes,
I,
yes.
You know what I mean by a day into night situation.
No, I just wanted to land on the fact like that's a very funny description for something.
Yeah. Okay. So from a day into night, we're home by like 10, right? So, or maybe even 11. So it's like time for a little bit of TV. We've been obviously hopping on the Peacock train with Ultimate Girls Trip, aka Rugged. So let's flip on to some Peacock, Paris in Love, Kyle, Kathy. That's what's being sold to us. Oh my God. The two stars of the show, Paris and the man.
His name's not like Quartz or something?
Or like something, Cameron Ruham or something with a C. And then his last name is Ruham.
Crap.
I don't know. These are not stars. And Paris, like, you would think that she would have learned from the not hot reception to the Netflix Paris cooking show that gotta drop the act. Like, enough. You're not selling it. Like, if Kathy's shtick is an act, which I don't care if it is or is not. If it is, she's selling it. And if it's not, great. But either way, like, I'm being entertained. The Paris shit, I'm not buying it. And it's also not entertaining.
Well, I have not seen this, but I feel like the Paris act works in a very specific circumstance. Like, if she's still on The Simple Life with Nicole.
Yeah.
Like, that's when that works. But we've seen behind that since then, yeah. So it's not going to work.
Like, it'll work when you're interacting with strangers, but if I'm watching you engage on your marriage journey, I don't want to see you portraying a character, you know?
Right.
Yeah. So, sad to say, we will probably not be continuing that journey. Paris in Love is the freak of the week. Brendan, who is our one true queen?
So, Zen Wen, Dr. Wendy Osefo, became the first housewife to ever appear on Las Culturistas this week.
We love promoting other podcasts.
Here's the thing. I mean, I listen to so many podcasts a week. There's a lot of love to go around. This is the podcast, obviously, hosted by Bowen Yang and Matt Rogers. And it just, to hear a housewife like Dr. Wendy in a sit-down interview that lasts like basically an hour is a joy, because I feel like you only hear these women talk in like snippets, so it's nice to hear them unedited for an hour. And then she did her I Don't Think So Honey, which is their like it's their traditional like end of episode thing where each person picks and like takes down something they're frustrated with, and she did it about these celebrities and millionaires going to space, specifically like calling out Michael Strahan. And it was really funny.
Okay. But the thing that's particularly good about it is that she learned what I Don't Think So Honey by watching the two of them do it. So she did not have the opportunity to prepare for it. I could imagine maybe pre-recording she might have been prepped for it, but maybe did not like put it together that she actually needs to do something. Because the way that their conversation was flowing sounded like she just figured it out on the spot. And which then solidified what she said on the show in terms of her being paid for her words.
Yes. And you can also tell that she wasn't necessarily completely prepared for it by the fact that she did not start out with using the words, "I don't think so, honey," which is like kind of the traditional way to start out, like how you're doing this. But then by the end of it, she had said, "I don't think so, honey," in a way that made both of the hosts like kind of scream laugh, which made it like 10 times better.
Yeah. I mean, it's just great. Also listening to her talk about things that she does not talk about, you know?
Yeah. And she, like, her talking about, like, her, that the best part about that podcast is learning what people's, like, first moment that, like, made them get invested in culture is. Mm-hmm. And hers are interesting and, like, surprising. And so, like, go listen to them. Turn off this podcast now. Yeah. We're almost over. Anyways, oh my God. Well, go listen to
perfect
them.
Perfect time.
As if they need the advertising from us.
I know, please. shine the light here.
Say one sentence about us.
Oh, no. Actually, I do got to give a shout out to a shout out by Evan Ross Katz on Annie's Girls, quoting,
oh my God,
Bring a Book. Although he was saying Bring a Book in an offensive way to me because he was talking about Ronge, which I would never say Bring a Book to.
Oh, yeah.
But I still love you, Evan. So, wow.
Dan is saying, don't shut up, Evan.
Yeah, I'm saying don't shut up, especially when it comes to Bringing a Book.
Yes.
Wow. What a week. What a day. It's Thanksgiving, baby. Pass the mashed potatoes. Head on over to comethroughqueen.com. Links to everything. A meaty Thanksgiving pre-show this week, I would say, on the Patreon.
Okay, yeah.
And yeah, wow. Like, comment, subscribe, heart, share, retweet.
Love us, please retweet.
We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
I wanna see ya come through, queen.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.